on this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. We'll start with a national swimming update before taking a look at this year's Indiana Track and Field Hall of Fame inductees. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette drops by to help us wrap up the high school track and field season while catching us up on this year's golf tournament and the Tin Caps. I'll close with notes on the Pacers, the Fever, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Four Hoosier swimmers, including breaststroke legend Lily King, will represent the United States at the World Aquatics Championships. USA Swimming released its final roster over the weekend following the Toyota National Championships held this year at the IU Natatorium. The world record holder will join Indiana swimmers Josh Matheny, Anna Peplowski, and Mariah Dennegan next month in Singapore. The national competition at King's Childhood Pool at IU Indianapolis was her last in the United States. King won the 50-meter breaststroke and came in second in the 100-meter days after announcing her plans to retire. Speaking after the final race, King thanked her many Indiana fans, saying, quote, "This is not just a basketball state, this is a swimming state." And Indiana's Track and Field Museum has announced this year's inductees for the Hall of Fame. These athletes and coaches are selected annually by the Indiana Association of Track and Cross Country Coaches. This year's class includes Rachel Dinkoff of DeKalb. Dinkoff was an All-American at Auburn University and participated in the discus for the 2020 United States Olympic team. She and the rest of this year's inductees will be honored at a ceremony in Terre Haute on Saturday, June 21st. And joining us now, as always, is Victoria Jacobson from the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The IHSAA track and field season came to an end with state finals over the weekend. Let's start with the girls. Who took home the title this year?
Well, this year it did end up going to the Carmel Greyhounds. Now, if you follow high school sports in Indiana, you probably think, oh, Carmel wins everything all the time. Interestingly, this is actually the first time that Carmel has won the girls' title since 1999. They actually haven't had that many state titles in history, so it is a little bit of a new and exciting thing for them. We did have three different local athletes from the Fort Wayne area win five separate titles. Mallory Weller, the Concordia junior, she won the 1600 in 4 minutes 49.06 seconds, and then she finished the distance double. It took a sprint to the finish line in the 3200 to win in 10 minutes, 28.26 seconds. She just beat out Julia Score of Bishop Chatard by 38 hundredths of a second. So usually we don't get exciting finishes in the 3200. Not the case this year. Sprint to the finish. We also had a sprint double by Nadia Ford, the Carroll sophomore. She wins the 100 in 11.68 seconds. That's a personal best for her. And then she took the 200 in 24.20 seconds. That was a really, really close one. I know races typically are really, really close in the 100 and the 200. She also ran in Carroll's 4x100 team, 4x100 relay team, that set a school record of 46.68 seconds. That was good enough for second place. They won this event last year, the Chargers, but this time was even faster. Just wasn't good enough this year as Brownsburg takes the title. With all of that, Carroll finished fourth with 31 points. That ties their best finish in the team standings ever. Their previous best was last year, when they also had a really great showing. Gwen Howard of Whitco, she's a senior, ends her high school career by winning the shot put with a mark of 46 feet, 11 inches. And she cleared the rest of the field by more than 2 feet. So a big win for the Wildcat senior, who was going off to Duke in the fall.
The boys' tournament also wrapped up over the weekend. How did things shake out in that tournament?
So there were six records broken on the boys' side. That is the most in a single state finals meet since they moved to the metric system several decades ago. So lots of great performances. Northeast Indiana had one event winner. That's Jordan Randall of Warsaw. He wins the high jump with a clearance of 7 feet. After he had won, title in the back pocket, tried to jump a personal best. I believe that was 7 feet, 1¾ inches. didn't quite set that personal best, but he's going to be back next year as well. So he said that his goal is to jump 7 feet, 4 inches. That is the state finals record. So that's something to look forward to next year. Jordan, not the only Warsaw athlete who scored in that meet, not even the only field event athlete who scored. All three of the Warsaw throwers, again, there were three who qualified in the discus, scored in the top nine. So they picked up points from all three of those athletes. And then two of them also scored in the shot put. So racking up some points there. In all, Warsaw scored 34 points to finish in fifth place in the team standings as Lawrence North takes home the title. We also had a second place finisher in Weston Ott of Churubusco. He had been second in the discus for most of the competition. And then on the very last throw, he was passed by Avon's Caleb Rashid. So finished second, not totally happy with that result, but both of those guys are juniors. So one more year to come away with the title for Weston.
We haven't spent much time on golf, but sectionals wrapped up earlier this week. How are things looking on the fairway?
So I was at the Warsaw sectional on Monday. That was the last of our local sectionals held at Eagles Glen in Columbia City. Warsaw ended up taking home the team title. Warsaw and Plymouth were tied with a team score of 313 after 18 holes. When that happens, you go to your fifth score. Warsaw's fifth score, Jacob Timmerman, shot an 88. That was well ahead of Plymouth's fifth golfer, who shot a 98. So the Tigers take home the sectional title for the third year in a row. The thing is, they're not totally happy with that result. They were hoping to score quite a bit better. They shot 150 on the front nine. They'll take that, but 163 on the back. And that's really not what you want, especially because a lot of those issues came over the last few holes. A bunch of the Warsaw golfers bogeyed the final hole, and just not the strong finish you want to see. They'll take the trophy, not really happy with the performance. The good news is that they get to get right back on the horse. Warsaw is hosting the regional as well. That'll be at Stonehenge in Winona Lake. Can go back to their home course, a place that they know really well, and hopefully get some of that mojo back because they have competed with alongside some of the best teams in the state so far this year. Now, the thing is, only three teams are going to get out of the regional. And that includes the two other teams that finished second and third at the Warsaw sectional, in addition to the Tigers, as well as number three Homestead, which has been having a great season, number eight Leo, which won the East Noble sectional, Bishop Dwenger, Carroll's a honorable mention in the coaches poll, and a bunch of other teams that scored better at their sectionals than Warsaw did in theirs. You know, Warsaw, they have the capability of shooting much better than 313. They have, you know, at the Northern Lakes tournament, which they also won, at some invitationals. So we'll have to see what happens on Thursday, which is when the regionals are being held.
The Tin Caps returned home this week against South Bend. How have they been looking lately?
Well, you hear about teams flirting with 500. No one has been doing it more consistently than the Tin Caps. They have been at 500, one game above 500, or one game below 500 since May 18th. They have been right there in the zone, haven't put together much of a winning streak, have not put together a losing streak. So dancing right there. Their opening game of the series against South Bend, kind of a case in point. They led on four separate occasions, and they still lost 11-9. It was a wild game, anything you can imagine, dozens of hits, I believe 8 walks, quite a number of hit by pitches, just anything you can imagine in this game happened. And so they fall 11-9 to the South Bend Cubs, who are 18-40. So hopefully things will turn around and the Tin Caps will pick up a couple more wins against the Cubs in this series that will be happening all week at Parkview Field.
Victoria Jacobson covering the whole range of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Last week, after the Pacers' miraculous Game 1 victory, the great Dan Patrick noted his wariness of teams like Oklahoma City in the playoffs. He said their dominance against pretty much everyone throughout the year has made them less prepared in a tight late-game situation, exactly when this Pacers team thrives. He articulated that point better than I could, but that experience is why I felt okay about the Pacers' chances coming into the series. this played out again Wednesday night, and the Pacers were once again able to close out the Thunder for a 2-1 lead in the series. Still a lot of basketball left to play in this best of seven series. Game 4 is Friday night at 8:30 from Indianapolis. Both teams travel back to OKC for Game 5 Monday night, and they'll bounce back and forth again next week if Game 6 and 7 are necessary. The Indiana Fever remain up and down as Caitlin Clark remains on the sidelines. After a commanding win over the Chicago Sky last weekend, they took a tough loss in Atlanta Tuesday and are now 4-5 on the year. The road doesn't get any easier. They'll face the undefeated defending champion New York Liberty at 3 Saturday afternoon, and they'll take on the Connecticut Sun Tuesday night. Both games are at home. It's a busy week at Gainbridge. Fort Wayne FC remains undefeated after beating the Dayton Dutch Lions on Saturday 4-2. They'll face Kingshammer Columbus FC on the road this week. Fort Wayne FC won their first meeting of the season 2-0 on May 28th. And checking in on pro baseball, the Detroit Tigers have the best record in the sport with 44 wins, and the Cubs have the third best record. I love seeing Midwest success at this stage. It's after Memorial Day, so the season's getting a little more interesting. Aaron Judge isn't hitting 400 anymore, but he's still knocking at the door at 396. One good day would get him right back over. He's also second in home runs behind Mariners catcher Cal Raleigh, who's got 26 so far this year. As of this writing, he's on pace for 66, which, phew, no one's done that since Bonds. I remember when they opened that park in Seattle and Ken Griffey Jr. had trouble getting them over the fence. That's all for Field Notes this week. Field Notes comes out every Thursday. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.